Om Jnanatimarannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunnidhitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidham Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanditam Cha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupa Nuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambodhe Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virvava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha kalpa trubhascha krupa sindobhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahavaranyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gora tvishe namaha pancha tatvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Ratnankara Shinghasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Preshtalibhi Seva Manu Smarami Srimad Rashara Sarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venus Vanir Gopir Gopinata Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Upa Padma Gringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparari Nakashana Parihare Pilajame Kimruve Purushottama Yvatinam Yata Yuni Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano pinamate tadvam mano me ramatam dvayi. Bhumau skalita padanam, bhumireva valambanam, Tvayi jata pararanam tvameva sharanam prabho Govinda balave radhe prate tvam aham sada Tvadiyam iti janatu govindam ham tvaya saha Radhe vrindavanadishe karunamrita vahani Kripaya nijapadabja dasamayam pratiyatam Vande nanda vajastrinam padarenam abhikshnasa Yasyam harikato gitam punati bhuvanatrayam Namasrestam manamapi sachiputram atrasvarupam Shirupam tasya gajam aruparim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivanamoho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri kuruntam natosmi Adadhana shridandante idam jache punah punah Shimandrupa padam bojo rajos hamsyam bhave bhave Hantaya madhira bala haridasya varyo Yadrama krishna chananas parasha pramoda Manam tanoti sahago ganayostayo yad Paniya suyavasa kandana kanna mulai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kupremanande Haribo. I first offer my prostrated and most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who deliberately, purposefully came to the Western world to pull fallen souls like me out of the darkness of ignorance. And so far as he continues in that, we may be successful. My obeisances to his lotus feet. I offer my prostrated obeisances to the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimhadev, who have so kindly appeared in a parking lot here in San Jose to benedict everyone, and who knows what they have in mind, but it's something big, and we're staying close to their lotus feet to find out how we can serve them and expand their glories. I offer my repeated obeisances to the feet of my esteemed God brothers and God sisters and to my beloved wife, and thank them for their unswerving support of me in all circumstances, even though I'm undeserving. I'm dependent on your mercy and your support and kindness. Hare Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances to the feet of all the Vaishnavas here and the Vaishnavis. I'm indebted to you for your association. I'm utterly attached to your association, could not live without it, and I relish every day of my life because of your association, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I offer my respects and obeisances to all the guests who have come here today for this ceremony to witness the most important initiation ceremony for Bhaktin Sandhya, Bhakta Mike, and the second initiation by our beloved Ramananda Sakar Prabhu. This is a very auspicious occasion. We're gathered here amidst the chanting of the Harinam, who has come to this world to deliver us from the joyful spiritual world where there is no work. In the material world, everyone has to go to work. They have to get on airplanes, crowd in, ask for a seat extension, wait in lines, wait to be told what to do. But in the spiritual world, there's no work. It's all happiness. There are airplanes in Vaikuntha, but they're for pleasure trips only. No business trips. So that holy name is ever liberated, and he's coming himself, incarnating in this world to deliver everyone. So today we're talking about our relationship, initiation. It means a relationship. It means reestablishing our eternal relationship, which is actually, as I said, eternal. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. We have an eternal kinship with the Lord. We're never separated, actually. But due to becoming covered by the three modes of material nature, somehow or other, falling into this condition of the material world, we've apparently been separated. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshita syad. We see something different from the Lord. There is nothing different from the Lord, but somehow, due to obstructed vision, obscured vision, perverted vision, covered vision, I see something separate from the Lord, and therefore I become fearful. Because of being disconnected from my source, the very source of my life, the source of my maintenance, the source of my happiness, why wouldn't we become full of fear and anxiety, being separated from the divine source of our very self, who's our eternal maintainer, who gives us life, who gives us breath, who gives us good instruction. And in fact, instruction is always there by the Lord. Tesham satata yuktanam. Satata yuktanam means always he's connecting. In fact, at the beginning of creation, the first living being, Brahma, who's the most pious living entity, when he comes out into creation, as we just heard from the Brahma Samhita, Krishna enlightens him from within his heart. He's the first initiate. Krishna's initiating everyone. That's the idea. He wants everyone to come back to him, and he's initiating everyone to bring them back into this loving, intimate relationship with him. That's initiation. It's the beginning of that, of reawakening that officially. And when Brahma comes into this world, he's in darkness and he's alone. And the Lord, from within the heart, I mean, who else is Brahma going to get initiated from? There's nobody there except Krishna. And Krishna is within his heart. Teni Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yat Surayaha. He enlightens Brahma. He initiates him within the heart. And also he sends divine Saraswati before him to give him the mantra. Uvacha puratas tasmai tasya divya saraswati kama krishna ya govinda hey gopi janityapi balabaya priyam vandhir mantram te dasati priyam tapastam tapa etena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. And she says, she comes before him, gives him the mantra, this divine sound, which is actually the sound of Krishna's flute incarnate in a mantra. Mantra, it's a something you can take with you. It's mercy. You can take it along. You can chant it. It's for you. It's for you. Your edification, your consumption, your eternal benefit. And she gives him that on behalf of Krishna. And he takes that mantra. Tapas tun tapayetena. Tapas. She says, use this austerity. Take this austerity of chanting this mantra. And by that, tapas siddhir bhavishyati. All your perfection will come. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's Chintamani. Krishna's inconceivable. He's so wonderful. He's a person. But he's unlimited person. Unlimited good qualities. Brahma says, if I tried to roll up the sky, if I was able to roll up the sky, all the stars, and count them, or all the grains of sand on the beach, every particle in the universe, if sometimes some scientists could create a mega, mega, mega supercomputer that could count all these particles, still they could not count your qualities. And Krishna's, Lord Brahma, after seeing the glories of Krishna, says that others may say they know you, but I can say something. Being the first being in the universe, being learned in the Vedas, studying them thoroughly three times, who can do that? He says, I don't know who you are. I can't understand. So others can say whatever they like, but I can't understand who you are. He's so wonderful. Krishna is so wonderful. And he's so merciful. He comes and he gives his mercy to everyone. Uddhava says to Lord Krishna, with folded palms, falling at his feet, he says, if I had the lifetime of Brahma, if I had the power of Brahma, I could not express my gratitude enough to you. Why? Because you come to me internally. You give me good instruction. And externally, you come to me as the spiritual master and also as the Shastra deity to inform me of your own path, how to come back to you. You're so kind, he said. I cannot repay my debt of gratitude to you. There's no way I can repay that. So Krishna's kindly coming to us at all times. And he's also speaking to everyone. Tesham satata yuktanam vajitam priti purvakam. But not everyone obeys. Krishna's always speaking. Not everyone listens, not everyone obeys. Someone says, I want to steal. May I please steal? And Krishna says, no, do not steal. And so, please, I want to steal. No, do not steal. I want to steal. All right, you steal, but you suffer the consequences. That's the material world. Material world means I'm asking Krishna to do something that's retrograde, that's not good for me. And I ask over and over again. Finally, he says, there you are. Suffer the consequences. Enter at your own risk. Enter at your own risk. And after this experience of being in the material world, repeatedly experiencing birth, death, old age, and disease, Bahunam jamanamante gyanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Someone becomes a great soul. What is that great soul? They surrender to Krishna. They understand Krishna is everything. His instruction is precious. His book, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these are all the most precious things in the world. They have no other concern for worldly things. They become absorbed only in Krishna. Bahunam jammanamante gyanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlava. Krishna says, such a great soul is very rare. Very rare. It's just a rare thing, actually, to decide this, that I'm going to listen to Krishna. I'm listening now. I'm sitting up close. I'm going to pay close attention from inside, from outside, from the Shastra. I'm taking this. This is initiation. It means the material world's finished. All the nonsense that comes in, the sound vibration that comes in. You turn on the radio, there's a million stations now. A million stations, maybe. Close. If you go to these satellite thing, now they have, it wasn't enough to have AM. We had to have FM. And it wasn't enough AM, FM. Now we have to have satellite. And is anybody happy? You have country. You can have dedicated, listen to country music all day long. Or, anyway. You can listen to nonsense eternally. But this means I'm listening to Krishna. Now I want to hear Krishna's sound. I'm tuning in to this one thing. I want to hear Krishna, his flute, the effect of that. Tapastum tapa etena tava siddhir bhavishyati. Perfection. Perfection of the soul. Purification of the soul. The soul's reconnection with Krishna. Experiencing ananda. Anandamoy. Bliss at every second. Being filled at every second with complete happiness. This is the effect of listening to Krishna's flute. The effect of listening to the radio, the effect of listening to the sound vibration, to the questions and answers that go on in the material world, the birds are asking, the bees are asking. Shotravya niti rajendra. Everyone has a question and an answer. Hare Krishna. A question and an answer. It's all about mundane subject matters, Shukadev Goswami says. But now's the time. Tad vignanartam sa gurum eva bigachet. Now's the time to come forward and hear what Krishna has to say. So we have an initiation ceremony, and ceremonies are meant to make an impression. That's what they're there for. Otherwise, traditionally, you know, the Harinam initiation could be done very casually. If you read Jiva Dharma, the guru will see the disciples qualified, and in some private ceremony, you can hand over the beads and say, you chant now. This is the Harinam initiation. Our great Acharya, predecessor Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he inaugurated this fire yagya for the Harinam initiation. Impressing, he wanted to impress everyone, impress the public. Something's going on here. It's like, what's going on? There's flowers, there's fruit, there's fire. Everyone's together. There's an impression being made that this is important. There's something here actually that's transpiring, that's moving the universe. It's very important. So we come together for the Harinam initiation. And this during this ceremony, the devotees, you, will make your vows. These vows are very important. I mean, everyone has to take a stand somewhere. If you don't take a stand, then any kind of idea that comes along, your mind will take you there. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. He said it's just like a boat on the water. It doesn't have a rudder. It just gets blown by the wind anywhere it goes. And that will happen. The material world, it guaranteed it will happen. The winds, calm sea, and then the wind will come up and the storms will come and we'll be blown away. So we have to have a rudder. And we have to be firmly fixed. So we firmly fix ourselves through this vow of initiation. Evam bratasva priyanama kirtya jitana rago jita chuta uchar hasatyato rotiti roti gayati unmadavam rittiti lokabhayaha. The most important, essential verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Srila Ishvarapuri, repeated by Srila Ishvarapuri to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is that this vrat, this vow to chant the holy name of the Lord, it will bring one to the steady path of devotional service. And then gradually one will make advancement and one's heart will melt. Srila Vishwanath Thakravarti Thakur says, your heart will become like a rose apple juice. It'll melt. Your heart will melt by the power of the holy name. And then you'll become indifferent to outsiders. That means you become indifferent to all the other sounds that are being broadcast in the material world. You're tuned into this one sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so we take the vow, we take the stand on this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's no actual necessity for initiation in the holy name because the holy name is independent. Some kinds of mantras require this purushcharya. It means what you do before you take the mantra for special purification. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, speaking to Satyaraj Khan, said that there's no necessity for this purushcharya vidhi in chanting the holy name of the Lord. So why do we take it in initiation? Well, our acharyas have said also that along with the chanting of the holy name, one should have sambandha gyan. Because to chant steadily, to chant purely, we must always remember what is our relationship with Krishna. Also, Krishna, although he's independent, he can approach anyone in any way that he likes. He can appear to anyone in any way. He chooses himself independently to come through Guru Parampara. That's his choice, and that's his method. And that's the method since an immemorial time, which has been followed by all acharyas, and which has been followed by the Lord himself when he comes to the world. He follows the system. He accepts a guru, and he takes the name, and he takes the mantra from the guru. And in that way, he shows the example that this is the immemorial process for advancing in devotional service. We will follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. We will follow in the footsteps of the great avatars of the Lord who have done this. And that's what we're doing today. We're following in their footsteps. Sadhu gama anugamanam. This is following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So we take the holy name based on that, from a spiritual master, and then we take the vow to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the effect of Krishna's name, as I said, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, it is unimaginable. It is all powerful. So in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Krishna's influence is all powerful. But we should also, and as we chant, whatever material desires are there, in the process of anartha nivritti, those desires will be rid of those desires by Krishna's mercy. Srinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hrityantaksto hibadrani vitunoti suritsatam. If we're sincerely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, meditating on Krishna and waiting for his mercy, he will help us, he will free us from anarthas. Unwanted material desires, very troublesome. But they're not very deep-rooted, actually, because we come from the spiritual world. And these material desires are compared to dust on a mirror, or more than that. It can be we can be more covered than that. But it's something that can be cleaned. And underneath is the soul in its full glory and its propensity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's there. So anyone can become purified, because you can't say, I can't become purified. I can't become qualified. That's like saying Krishna is not powerful. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kasarya yene cha papa yara pashraya shreya shudyanti tasmai prava vishnave namaha. Shukadeva Goswami says boldly in the Srimad Bhagavatam that anyone can become purified. I don't care where they're from. They're outside of the system of Varnashram. They have no birthright. They have no standing in any. In fact, he names, dog eaters. These are named throughout the Bhagavatam. The dog eaters. Not just someone who accidentally ate a dog, but somebody who eats dogs. They can become a pure devotee. Why? Because of the power of Vishnu coming down through the Guru Parampara. Anyone who's properly situated, they can become purified. It's Krishna's power. No one can deny that power. So material desires, one takes this vow to chant Hare Krishna, there's no match. Material desires will be vanquished. It's just a matter of time. There's no consideration. The devotee will have success. Once having begun this process of chanting Hare Krishna, there will be success. All victory is there. Therefore, we say, Param Bijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. All victory is there in this chanting process. No question about it. However, there's something more serious than material desires, which are not rooted deeply, which are only covering us temporarily. And that is aparadhas. Aparadhas, radha means service to the Lord. And aparadha means doing the opposite of what is service-oriented, which is in the mood of service to the Lord, which is against service to the Lord, which transgresses the system of serving the Lord. Aparadha. So there are aparadhas. And initiation also means not just chanting Hare Krishna through numerical strength every day, but also living a life which is specifically devoted to avoiding the aparadhas at all costs. So when we understand and learn what those aparadhas are, and we arrange our life in such a way that we don't commit them, and we chant Hare Krishna at the same time, then very quickly we advance in the process of devotional service. There's no blockage. Therefore, we should mention the offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The offenses against the holy name. The holy name is a person. He is personally appearing in his full opulence when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first offense is to vilify devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to spreading the holy name. We get the holy name from the devotees. That's who gives it to us. In this world, that's who's distributing the holy name. The devotees go house to house. They go parking lot to parking lot. They go radio station to radio station. Make sure everyone finds out. They're spreading it everywhere that they can. And they are the agents of the Lord. They are where we get the special mercy of the Lord. temples all over the world, they've appeared because of the devotees of the Lord. And the servants of 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 those devotees, they're very dear to Lord Krishna, ad infinitum. Anyone who's connected to the Lord in any connection. In fact, if someone in a family of demons becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, Krishna says, okay, everyone liberated. 24 generations, forward, backward, everyone. Why? They were connected. 24 generations ago? Who cares? That's Krishna. Krishna is so kind. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. Sadureva samantabhya samyag vyavasito hisaya. About his devotee, he becomes emotional in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He's saying, even if my devotee commits an abominable action, you have to consider him saintly. He's a sadhu because he's my devotee. And because he goes on with his devotional service, Shri Pram Bhavati Dharmatma, Shashvash Chantim Nagachati, Konteya Pratijanihi, Nami Bhaktya Pranashati, declare it boldly, Arjun, my devotee will never be vanquished because he's connected to me. So this connection to Krishna is all important. And devotees are connected to Krishna. So we should be very, very careful about vilifying devotees. The wicked tongue wants to say all kinds of demeaning things, even in subtle ways. The devotee should be glorified. But when the tongue, contaminated by envy, which oozes from the heart of the materially contaminated person, comes out onto the tongue, and then someone's to be glorified, but someone else says, oh, it wasn't so great after all. Oh, but you didn't see the downside of the whole thing. Why don't you look on the dark side for a change? And see how that wasn't really a great thing that he did. It's not so glorious at all. This is the life of a materialistic babbling. But the life of a devotee means to avoid this vilification, even in a subtle way, to glorify devotees with one's tongue. And by that process, Lord Chaitanya said, actually, you drink nectar. When you restrain your tongue, whatever you have to do, tie a pickup truck to it. You know, get a tractor and tie it around your tongue so it doesn't go the wrong way. But make it glorify the devotees of the Lord. Don't let it go to the vilification of the devotees of the Lord, because that is the most grievous offense. Just see how Krishna glorifies his own devotees, that even if they make a mistake, he doesn't consider it. And he said, you shouldn't either. And so when we see devotees, we should be happy to see them. And we should glorify them. So we must avoid offenses to the lotus feet of the devotees. Servants of the servants of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, a million times removed, they're glorious, and we should respect them. And Rupa Goswami says, so if someone chants Hare Krishna anywhere in your mind, you should respect them. Krishneti yasagirita manasadriyeta. In your mind, you should offer them respect to such a person who can utter Hare Krishna. And if someone steps forward and becomes initiated, then you should get down before them and offer your obeisances before them with your limbs on the ground. It's good for you because the devotee is so dear to Krishna. And if you find someone who's advanced in devotional service, who has no other agenda 24 hours a day, and has no propensity whatsoever within the heart to criticize others, you should follow that person like a shadow to render service and do whatever you can, because that's where you'll really make advancement in devotional service. So the first offense, the vilification of the devotees of the Lord, we should always keep close to us as vital for our advancement in devotional service. Controlling the tongue, the mind, and our body in association with devotees, making sure that we don't commit offenses. Second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. We should give all respects to the demigods as the great servitors of the Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over South India, he would go to temples of Skanda and temples of Lord Shiva, and there he would dance in ecstasy, remembering Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, that Lord Shambhu is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. He would offer them respect everywhere. But never, ever did he equate the demigods with Krishna. Nimnaganam yata Ganga, Devanam achito yata. Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu, Purananam idam yata. The Krishna, he's the supreme. This is the Bhagavatam's naming all the superlatives. And we find out that of all rivers, Ganga is best. Of all the gods, Krishna, he's number one. And his mantra is the best also. His name is the best. So we take it like that. It's not that you can chant Durga, Durga, Shiva, Shiva, mix it all together in a big pot, and it's all the same thing. It doesn't matter because it's all the supreme. This is an offense, actually. Because if you understand from Shastra, if you understand from the Acharyas, if you make a study, if you read Bhagavad Gita, there's an idea. Instead of saying, I know Bhagavad Gita, you actually read Bhagavad Gita and do know Bhagavad Gita. Then you know that Krishna, mata paratanam nanyat, kinchid asti dananjaya, mai sarvamiram protam sutri maniganaiva. He holds everything together, even the demigods. Everything comes from him. He is the supreme. And we must fix our minds in that way on Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead and not consider anyone else equal. But by the same token, everyone is coming from Krishna and we must respect their position and show all honor and respect, especially to the demigods who are his great servitors. That's the balance of the second offense against the holy name of the Lord. Third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So we get instructions. And we should, if we can get some instruction, like Srila Prabhupada, he got some instruction from his spiritual master. He got a letter, he had a walk in Radhakund, and from those two things, practically, when his spiritual master told him, if you ever get money, print books. How's that for a mantra? Take that one with you. If you ever get money, print books. Srila Prabhupada, he took that to as his life and soul. If you ever get money, print books. And look what happened. One thing. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. You get one thing and you concentrate on that, you'll get everything else. The whole world will become purified by one person taking seriously the instruction of Krishna and the spiritual master. So the order of the spiritual master should be taken very seriously. It's coming down from Krishna. It's being passed through parampara, from one person to the next. So we take that as our life and soul and live on that instruction. Take that instruction and make it your life and soul, your seva, because your seva will save you. It actually will. Non-different from Krishna. Hang on to your seva. The world will fly around. It's like a big wheel. It goes faster and faster. You have to hold on to something. And that's your seva. Hold on to it. Hold on to the instruction that you get as your life and soul. Instruction, four regulative principles. Follow four regulative principles. Perfectly. Chant 16, minimum 16 rounds a day. Take that. Who else can do that in the world? It's an empowered thing to be able to follow four regulative principles strictly in Kali Yuga. And if you do that, all success will come. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. So again, Krishna is extending himself to us in this world. And sometimes we'll find even in the Vedas, in the canon of the Vedic literature, there are apparent contradictions. Like there are some shastras, Puranas, which are tamasic, and they'll tell people, like, yes, you can eat a goat. And someone might read that and say, oh, that's nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. And that's, you're blaspheming Vedic literature and literature in pursuit of the Vedic version. Because that instruction is meant not for you, for someone else, for their purification, to bring them up to the next higher stage. The Vedas are a huge project. They're meant to bring everyone closer. So we should see Vedic literature clearly as its eternal knowledge coming down from Krishna to save us from the darkness of the material world. Tamasi ma jyotirgamai. And we should show all honor and respect to the Vedic literature and literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. That includes any version around the world where someone's propounding the science of service to God and loving God. We show respect in that place. There may be ABCs. There may be introductory mathematics course, or there may be advanced applied math and calculus, whatever it is. It's all in the same genre, and we show our respect there, seeing that it's coming from God, that it's coming from Krishna to rescue us from the material world. Fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imaginary. And ultimately, we must become free from the bodily conception of life and have our own experience to see how this is, it's not imaginary. So we shouldn't stay in the bodily conception of life. In the bodily conception of life, I measure everything according to my own tiny little mind, like Dr. Frog, whose friend went off to the Pacific Ocean, caught a ride on the wagon and came back a week later and said, I saw a body of water that's huge. It's much bigger than this well. And Dr. Frog, being attached to his mundane knowledge, and everyone becomes attached in the material world to living under a rock. Someone lives under a rock and you lift it up and they say, leave me alone. I like it here. Dr. Frog liked his little well and he thought it was the greatest thing. And he said, how much bigger is it than this well? He said, 2 times bigger? 3 times bigger? No, it's huge. You can't even imagine how big it is. It's beyond, it can't be more than 5 times bigger, 10 times bigger. He's puffing himself up until he exploded in trying to conceive of something bigger than his own perspective. Material life means my own perspective. I'm locked within my own little mindset that I'm this body and my little yard and whatever I lock up, these are all my things. But the holy name, it cannot be contained within my mind or arrested in my mind. And when we hear the statements about how powerful the holy name is, we should not take those as imaginary. We should not take them as exaggeration. And when it comes to Krishna Nam and when it comes to Krishna Leela, there's no exaggeration at all. And if we let go of any restraint we have from our mind thinking, oh, this is imaginary, then very quickly we can take advantage of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Okay. Sixth offense is to give a mundane interpretation. The holy name doesn't need any interpretation. It's Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very simple about this. He just said, someone tried to give an interpretation. He said, I know no other. It's Yashoda Nandan. Yashoda Nandan. Just, he's the son of Yashoda. Just take it as it is. You don't need to figure it out and interpret the holy name. Just understand that it's Krishna, it's Chintamani, and chant Hare Krishna and associate with the Supreme Personality of God in his name and let him, he will reveal himself to us as we chant. Seventh offense is to sin on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. If I think that now I have this Chintamani stone, I know that if I chant Hare Krishna, I become purified of all material desires, because the Shastra says this. That anyone chants Hare Krishna, they become, just by saying the name, they can become free from as many sins as they could possibly commit in this lifetime. So if I develop a mentality of sinning and then atoning through chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, thinking that that's giving me some edge in life, kind of like the best of both worlds, that mentality. The best of both worlds. I can have this and this too. No. You can't have both. You cannot sin on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. No drinking water underwater on a fast day. And Krishna's in the heart. He knows. The process is based on sincerity. It's based on the sincerity within the heart. And Krishna sees what our sincerity was, what our intention is. And in fact, the whole basis of the clearing stage of chanting means I'm trying to free myself from these offenses. Even I can't. I'm trying. I'm consciously trying. Krishna sees our intention that we're trying to do this. So don't take advantage of it. Even for a second, don't think that it's okay because I'm a devotee. I can do whatever I want. Or because I'm an institution, I'm institutionalized now. I have my initiation. I'm in a big institution. Therefore, I can do what I want. I can treat any. I'm saved. No. That's the opposite of Vaishnava mentality. The Vaishnava mentality is, I'm the most fallen, and I'm fortunate to have any kind of standing whatsoever in the association of devotees, and I must be vigilant at every second. In the seventh offense of the holy name, do not let down your guard and think, I can do whatever I want because I'm a devotee. I'm special. The eighth offense, what is the eighth offense? Karmakanda. There are many rituals in the Vedas, and you can read this all the time. If you do this, you get that. If you do this, you get that. Long life, wealth, happiness, all these kinds of things. These are not the result we want from the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. If we chant with offenses, however, we may get all these things, because the holy name is Chintamani. He fulfills all desires. So if I chant and have all kinds of material desires, he may fulfill those desires. And, you know, that's not what we want. We also don't want liberation. We want Krishna. We want pure devotional service. It's not a karmakandic process. It's not a ritualistic process. It's Krishna's name is completely free and independent from the spiritual world. And it's meant for reestablishing our eternal relationship with him. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says that if one compares the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to performing 100 million Ashwamedha horse sacrifices at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna during the eclipse of a sun, and he thinks that chanting Hare Krishna one time is equal to that, he's an atheist and a demon and he's fit to go to hell. So this is the reverence we should have for the holy name, and not consider it to be some ritualistic ceremony like other things mentioned in the Vedas, like karmakanda. It's a liberated activity. Yanamadeha munivrindagehe janaranjanaya paramaksharakrite tvamanararada pimana gudiritam nikilo gratapa patalimbalimbasi. It's coming from the festival of the spiritual world. The ninth offense is to instruct faithless people about the holy name of the Lord. I believe it says in the Bible, don't throw pearls before a swine. Don't give it to somebody who can't appreciate it. Of course, we go out and we publicly broadcast the holy name of the Lord, and we go door to door and we induce people to chant Hare Krishna. But we should also be aware of the fact that some people may be envious, and it's our duty as teachers of the holy name to not press people who are envious. We're supposed to avoid those who are envious of the holy name and the whole idea of chanting Hare Krishna, and not press it on them, because that becomes offensive to the holy name. So we should have some discrimination, which is a real art when we're going out to teach Krishna consciousness. You have to find where that medium point is, because some people, they're right on the edge. And if you go a little bit further, sometimes they turn. So we have to become expert. And the tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. So when we chant seriously, especially we're doing this japa as meditation. If you meditate on the name of Krishna and you sit down or wherever, whatever place you do to chant, and you carefully chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Krishna actually will manifest. He manifests to those who sincerely chant his holy name, and rather quickly also. How does he manifest? Not necessarily that he'll show his Shyamasundar form to you or something like that, but he will come to you as good instruction. He may give you good instruction to give something up or to accept something. And when he does, to neglect that, that's an offense. In other words, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Say, Krishna, please, I want service, I want service, I want. And then he comes and he gives an impression in my heart and he says, okay, do this or give that up. And then I say, no thanks, not right now. This is an offense, and we'll lose our taste for chanting, because that's the opportunity. When you chant and Krishna gives you an impression and he gives you an idea, give this up, take this. He's bringing you. And no thanks. I mean, when you try to bring someone along and they keep resisting you or ignoring your prompts and your instructions, how do you feel about it? Seriously, how do you feel about it? You feel good? Not so good. Okay. So Krishna's like that too. So don't maintain material attachments in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Also, it's very difficult. Maintenance is the hardest thing. To maintain something takes a lot of work. Just try maintaining one potted plant for a while. And you'll see, most of the time it dies. I saw a book called 10 House Plants That Even You Can't Kill. Because it's hard to maintain a plant. You get a plant and, you know, say, did you water it? And I didn't water it. I didn't want it dead. But if you maintain it, you got to think about it. How to take care of it, where to put it in the sun, move it here, there. Maintenance is difficult. And maintaining material desires is a useless burden. So don't maintain them. Don't maintain material desires while chanting Hare Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes that we can make great headway in avoiding all of these aparadhas, specifically by being very attentive to our chanting. Just that one thing, be attentive to your chanting. It means bring your attention. Like we say, pay attention. You've heard that? Pay attention. So you're paying something, right? And actually, you've got some capital when you pay attention. Like if someone speaks to you and you listen, you're paying attention. So pay attention to the holy name. That's all you have to do. And that helps you to avoid all the other offenses if you just pay attention. So at all costs, and with great sense of cultivation, avoid the 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord and be attentive while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And always come back to that, because the mind will stray away and bad habits may come up, but bring it back. Keep coming back to the center and to the purpose of your chanting Hare Krishna. Ramananda Sakar Prabhu has been steadily chanting Hare Krishna and serving the devotees and the Lord here for several years now. And since last year when he took first initiation, now he's taking what we call Brahminical initiation or second initiation. And this, specifically, he will receive today the secret mantras. That's nice. These mantras are coming down from great realized sages and devotees, actually. They're revealed to them in their deep meditations, and they pass them on to others. And they come in these forms of a mantra where actually the deity is fully present within the Gayatri mantras. So he will receive today the same mantras that I received from my spiritual master, I'm passing along, and that is the system for receiving these secret mantras. They must be passed along through Guru Parampara to be effective. And why are they necessary? If the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is sufficient in itself, it's all powerful, then why also do we have this other kind of initiation? This is especially in our line. Our acharyas have given us two tracks so that we can run smoothly back to Godhead. One track is the Bhagavat Marg, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the other track is the Pancharatriki Vidhi. Vidhi means rules and regulations. The Bhagavat Marg, the chanting of Hare Krishna, is the Rag Marg. It's spontaneous, actually. But who can come to that position of chanting Hare Krishna purely and out of spontaneous love? Well, our acharyas tell us nobody in the age of Kali. Without help of the Pancharatrik Vidhi, or the rules and regulations of the Pancharatra, which keep us pure in mind, and which also have a very specific effect on bringing us close to the personal form of Krishna. Within the mantras, the Gayatri Mantra, within the Guru Mantra and the Guru Gayatri Mantra and the Gaura Mantra and Gaura Gayatri Mantra and the Krishna Mantra, which is the Lakshan, or the chief mantra of all the mantras that you will receive today. And then there's the Kama Gayatri Mantra. These mantras specifically help us to develop a loving relationship with Krishna, purify the mind and the senses. And by chanting those mantras, we actually are able to enter into a very personal relationship with Krishna that allows us to chant incessantly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this sense, this initiation is a process. It's not a one-time event, but it's a process. And we've discussed this before, the Pancha Samskar. There are five aspects to initiation. The first aspect is called tapa. And tapa means that we take a different view of life. We understand that actually we're not from this world, and we begin to give up the things that are hindrance in our path of devotional service. Tapa, following the four regulative principles. And then there's pundra, which means we begin to identify outwardly. First tapas, we identify inwardly that we're a devotee. We repent that I've wasted so many years and lifetimes in the material world. And pundra means now I externally express myself as a Vaishnav. Urva pundra means wearing this tilak and neck beads, the Kanti mala. This is actually a very exalted thing to wear these signs of a Vaishnav. And anywhere you go in the universe, people will recognize you as a Vaishnava if you wear those things. So we should wear them very carefully, actually. Only those who are following the process should wear the Urva Pundra and the Kanti Mala, because it's setting an example. So next, after that, after one is following Tapa and Pundra, then one can take initiation into the mantra, into the Nama. Nama means that we receive the name from a guru to chant Hare Krishna. We also receive a spiritual name with Das or Dasi at the end. And that's the most important part of the name, because that is a very, very exalted position, to be a servant of Krishna. So we call Das or Dasi. And we receive that during our first initiation into Nam. And then mantra, which is the initiation that you're taking today. When you will receive the sacred thread and also the mantras, which have been passed down through disciplic succession. And one who has received those mantras can then engage in yaga, which means deity worship. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach specifically this chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and deity worship. Those things go on simultaneously. Then one can very easily become purified and make advancement in devotional service. So today you'll receive the sacred thread and the mantras. And general instruction. I mentioned the verse, Evam Vratasva Priyanama Kirtya, Jitanurago Jita Chuta Uchar. It's a famous verse, which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, when you take this vow to chant Hare Krishna, then gradually, as you become purified, your heart will melt, and you become very much attached to a particular name of the Lord. There's commentary on that verse by the Acharyas. And in that commentary, I particularly like what Madhavacharya has said. I find it very helpful and useful. That is, he says that some devotees, they show external signs of happiness and ecstasy when they're chanting Hare Krishna. And others don't show, although they feel it within their heart. And some show it sometimes and not other times. He said, but there are two things which are always present in an advanced devotee. One he calls mukha prasadad. Mukha prasadad means that what comes out of the mouth of that person is prasad. In other words, what they speak is prasad. It's mercy for others. So this is one principle. You can concentrate on this. It cannot necessarily be done artificially, but it should be cultivated. That what you speak, what comes out of your mouth, consider it should be done for mercy for others. Even if you have to instruct someone, make sure that you're doing it out of mercy, out of prasad. Give prasad. from your words, your speaking. That's the sign of an actually advanced devotee. And then he said the second quality is steadfastness. Steadfastness. People take things up all the time, and then they leave them aside. It happens all the time. Vows are taken, and then later on, life changed. Rationalize it. Don't do that. Take a vow, and whatever it takes, be steadfast. Because a simple vow, anyone who takes a simple vow and remains steadfast to a simple vow, they become very, very effective. Very, very noticed in the world from their power. So these two things, please take, along with this initiation. And that is, whatever you speak, measure it. Make sure that it's for the mercy of others. And cultivate that quality that whatever you speak is beneficial to others. It's giving them mercy. It's helping them. And the second is, be steadfast in everything that you do related to your devotional service. Steadfast. Raghunath Das Goswami's devotional service was like lines in a stone, like lines carved in a stone. Could not be, you can't move that. So whatever you take it like that, steadfast. Your vows, this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, 16 rounds, steadfast. Minimum 16 rounds, steadfast. And speak for the benefit of others. And also, I'll pass on one other thing that Prabhupada said personally and directly to me, and that was the statement, you must also read my books. Read Prabhupada's books all the time, every day. Every day read Prabhupada's books. Don't let a day go pass without purifying your consciousness by entering within the nectar that he has left us in these divine books. And that will give you proper intelligence. Krishna is there within the heart instructing, and Srila Prabhupada is watching over us. He left us this protective system, so take advantage of it. Don't be foolish and go outside the fence and think, we'll just try it again. Stay in the protection of the sound vibration that comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Bhagavad Gita. It's not restrictive. What's restrictive is going outside the line and being trapped again by the illusory material energy that says, come here, you'll be free. Opposite. You're free from staying within the boundaries of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and the instruction of the spiritual master and your vow, steadfast vow. Application is everything. The instruction you get from the guru, from the shastra, if you don't apply it, it doesn't mean anything. Mark Twain once said, there's no difference between a person who doesn't have books and a person who can't read. There's no difference between a person who can't read and a person who can read and doesn't. So there's not a lot of difference either between someone who takes a vow and then doesn't follow it and someone who hasn't taken a vow. So be steadfast and Krishna will give you all mercy. Hare Krishna.